go to that often. 3 John. And I want to talk to you. I mean, there's a real simple point in this. One application. But the theme is, and the thought is, selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. And ambition, it's okay to want to do things. The Bible says if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. That's ambition. But when it becomes the place and the vehicle of selfishness in view of other people, it becomes a disaster, really. The book of 3 John, it's up towards the end of your Bible, almost at the very end. If you go to Revelation and go back a couple books, you'll find 3 John, a little letter written by John, in verses 9 through 11. And it's about at this part of the letter, he's dealing with a man named Diotrephes, who he says he loves to have the preeminence. He wants to be in the spotlight. He wants to make sure, I guess he feels threatened by John or feels threatened by certain leadership, and so he's gonna badmouth him. And John says, you know, when I get there, I'll deal with this. And so 3 John verse 9, the Bible says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So he's really dedicated to making sure only certain voices are heard, and making sure the people that he's threatened by don't get heard. Verse 11, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. That verse is so simple. It's just like, it's almost like it's like a kindergarten or preschool, you know. This is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. Just so simple. So I want to give you 3 things tonight about selfish ambition. And let's pray, and we'll talk about this man Diotrephes, because there truly is, there's a little bit of Diotrephes in all of us. And ambition is, it can be spiritual. It can be, obviously, Diotrephes, his ambitions are spiritual. He's in a church, and Paul at one time wanted so bad to go to Jerusalem, he didn't care what God said about it. And so he was so determined to go to Jerusalem. So what I'm saying is, just because someone wants to do something or desires, ambitions don't have to be evil, but when they become the center and the vehicle for your selfish life, then they become evil. And so let's pray, and we'll talk about this man. Father, thank you so much for these words. Thank you so much for these souls that are here for a good afternoon. Lord, I pray we could get something out of these verses. I don't know, I tried to do something on Independence Day, and I didn't get anything out of the devotion time or any of that. So this is what we got. And I pray it'd be helpful. I pray we could make the applications we need to make and get what we need out of these verses. And thank you again for those that are probably still in the kitchen over there preparing things, and for all their help and preparation that we'll all enjoy in here. And for those that have prepared food and made desserts and things like that, thank you for them. Thank you for their selflessness and their time and energy being devoted to give to other people. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first thing you notice in verse 9, selfish ambition. The Bible says about, and John said about Diotrephes, he loves to have the preeminence. It means he wants to be the only influence. He He is a self-promoting man. He is somebody that wants to control the voices in his favor. He wants to make sure that the people are listening to him. And he really, this little letter, 3 John, is about the truth. You'll see the truth show up several times if you read the whole thing. And Diotrephes doesn't necessarily care about the truth. What he cares about is himself. That's his primary concern. And I thought there's some things that are really interesting about what he does and what he doesn't do. Diotrephes isn't scolded or he isn't talked about because he has bad doctrinal points of view or he doesn't have a heresy that is teaching. Paul had talked about some guys that were teaching some heresy earlier on. But John doesn't say this man's teaching heresy. What he says is this man is practicing heresy. So it's not that he teaches it, he just practices it. And so this whole, I don't know, he obviously thinks himself to be superior in some way, entitled in some way, where he is. He needs to be the one that is telling people what needs to go on and what doesn't need to go on and who to listen to and who not to listen to. And so John describes him. He says, I've heard of this guy over at your church, Diotrephes. He loves to have the preeminence. And later on, John will say, I'll come and deal with him when I get there. But here's another thing about him. His selfish ambition, it is, and you need to understand his problem, Diotrephes' problem is not that he preaches heresy. His problem is that he practices heresy. And there is a difference. There is a difference. And this is where this goes. Some of you have a belief system that is a creedal belief system. It's a creed. It's not a behavior, it's a creed. It's a set of ideas, it's a set of thoughts, it's a set of things that you would confess, but you wouldn't live by those things. It's almost exactly like almost any other religion. I mean, the closest one that we can probably relate to is maybe, I don't know, Roman Catholicism, where there's a confession, and if you have the right confession, then you're right if you say the right things. Some independent Baptists have that same mentality. If I say the right things, if I say premillennial, fundamental, then that's my stand, and that's good. Behavior be damned. I don't care what my behavior is, as long as I have the right confession. See what I'm saying? I mean, that's religion. That is the essence of religion. It's just a confession. It has nothing to do with behavior. It has nothing to do with actions. Again, Diotrephes' problem is not that he has the wrong preaching or that he has heresy that he's saying. The problem is he's practicing heresy. John doesn't say, this guy's teaching against the resurrection. This guy's teaching against Jesus Christ. No, this guy is practicing selfishness. That's his problem. And so John's letter here, he gives Diotrephes a few verses here. And I said this the other day in church, I think, briefly, I mentioned it. But where this goes, where this type of mentality goes, you have seen it. Probably everyone in this church has seen it. You have seen people who have the right confession. They say the right thing. Bite and devour each other and then go right down the street to the same church that has the same confession. And their behavior is horrible. You understand the difference? We got a confession, but our behavior is terrible. And you'll watch this stuff in churches where people have this creedal type ideology. And if I say this set of things, and if I believe this set of things, then I'm taking my stand here. Look, if you're if your stand is in a statement and not in a behavior, you're not taking a stand. You're just mouthing some words. You're just saying something like every other religion just says something. So this is Diotrephes. His preaching doesn't seem to be terrible. He's not teaching heresy, but what he is doing is he's practicing heresy. There's, you know, what's interesting with people like this that are, and we're all prone to this. We all have these tendencies, where you get proud and you get self-deceived. And what's lost, I think it was John Marshall that said this, is a great way of saying it, I thought. But what's lost in proud people is the sense of irony. What I mean by that, you got a great proverb that describes irony. I'll just read it to you. And you'll understand immediately what I'm saying. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27. I'll read this to you. This is irony. Proverbs 26:27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. You know what that is? Irony. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. You know what that is? Irony. It's irony. And people who are proud and self-deceived have no sense of irony. They have no sense that while they think they are maybe deceiving other people, they themselves are being deceived. They have no sense that while they are influencing whoever they think they're influencing or moving the crowds in whatever direction they're moving the crowds, they themselves are being moved. And the sense of irony is just lost on people like Diotrephes and proud, sort of selfish folks. They just lost the sense of irony. What's lost in that, I love that verse in Proverbs. The irony of a situation is foreign. I mean, you think about this guy Diotrephes. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be known among the church members there. But if you run every good person off, what are you in charge of? What do you have left? If you burn the whole thing to the ground, what do you have left anyway? You know what that is? That's irony. He that rolleth a stone, it'll roll back on him. He that diggeth a hole, it'll fall right in it. That's Diotrephes. He's completely oblivious to the irony of his own situation. He goes around promoting himself to be in leadership. And the ironic question is, what will you be the leader of after you've destroyed the church? What are you going to lead? Who's going to stick around to listen to you after you've run off every good person? After you tell the people, don't listen to John the Apostle, don't listen to this man, don't listen to this man, just listen to me. And after you've separated and made divisions, just unnecessary divisions among people, what are you the head of? Selfish ambition. And then John describes what this leads to is it's not just an emotion a man feels, this ambition, but it leads to these activities where he starts bad-mouthing John. He starts bad-mouthing other people. And I know we've never done any of that kind of stuff. We don't do that kind of stuff. We don't get frustrated with people and just badmouth them when they're not around. I know that this is all, you know, I'll just read it fast because it doesn't apply to anybody. I'll just read through it real fast here. So, wherefore he says, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. This guy is dedicated to himself. He's dedicated to his own cause. He makes sure, not only, I don't want you listening to John, but if there's anybody who's been listening to John, they need to go too. They need to be out. What a guy. He's described as prating against us with malicious words. That's like it's gossip. It's lies. It's slander. It's bad mouthing somebody behind their back. Somebody said, you know, I don't mind people lying about me. Just don't tell the truth about me. So he's just bad-mouthing John. Paul said it this way in Romans. He said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark them. You understand, not everybody needs to be in church. I'm not trying to scare you or run you off or whatever. But some people who are here to cause trouble, they don't need to be here. Diotrephes would be better off not in a church service. He'd be better off at home. He'd be better off doing his own thing in his own way, in his own world. Paul said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Identify a troublemaker, deal with him. That's what John will end up doing, he says in this letter. Prating, what does that mean? This Diotrephes, he's prating. He talks a lot, his words are of little value, speaks evil of the brethren in order to magnify himself, because I guess he feels it's his ministry. I guess he feels his ministry is endangered by the Apostle John. I think anybody in this who has these thoughts rolling around, they must feel like not only are they entitled to think what they think, but they also feel endangered when someone sort of steps on their perceived turf or whatever it is. It becomes, you know what it becomes? For Diotrephes, this thing becomes Diotrephes' ministry. It's no longer God's ministry at all. Now it's just Diotrephes' ministry. It's just, you're just all living in his world now. Forget the Bible, forget what God said. He'll use the Bible. He'll talk all the right talk, and he'll use the Bible to angle and to get the influence. His sinful acts, and not only is he prating, but he persecutes. He finds people who are listening to John, and he tries to run them off. He's just, this guy, he's not content to badmouth good men, but forbids good men because they're a threat to him. And not only does he forbid good men, he forbids anyone who would have John or other good men come there. I mean, it is something else. Literally, a man living in his own world. And I say this often, but we're all, absent of God's word, absent of any light in your life, you will just live in your world. You will just be relegated to your own imagination, your own doctrines on life, your own ideas, your own perspectives, good or bad, your own darkness. Absent of any light, you just live in your own world. That's Diotrephes. We're all that way. David said one time, I think it's in Psalm 28, I love the phrase, he says, if thou hast not spoken, talking about God, he said, Lord, if you hadn't spoken, if you hadn't opened your mouth and communicated with me, he said, I would be like them that go down to the pit. Meaning that's how important the light of God's words are. If you don't speak, I live in darkness. If you don't open your mouth, Lord, I live in darkness. Now, we all ought to take some note on that. That's true. And if you don't think that's true, say, I don't have a regular Bible time, I don't read my Bible much, or whatever the reason, I'm not a good reader, or whatever the reason, just understand, if you don't have any Bible influence, you are living in your own darkness. You have to have Bible influence. You have to have it. If you say you believe the Bible and say, I don't have any Bible influence, but I believe the Bible, how do you know you believe the Bible? You don't know what the Bible says. You may find a spot in the Bible where you're reading and you say, you know what, I don't think I agree with that. But you don't know that because I believe the Bible is just a creed. It's just a statement. It's just, I say this. I believe the Bible. We talked to a lady Thursday. Was it Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. I mean, she literally had every... I've never heard so many contradictory excuses. I mean, we're trying to offer this lady eternal life. Free. Jesus Christ offers you eternal life for free. And I won't go through the conversation because it's just, I don't even remember half of it. It's just like all over the place. She would say, I read my whole Bible cover to cover. I read the whole thing. I do this. But you got to be good. Oh, I've studied Buddhism. Oh, I've studied this. I said, you ought to listen to yourself. Y'all just step back and listen to yourself. I showed you a verse in the Bible that you said you believe. That said eternal life is a free gift. And here we're trying to just offer it to you. Just eternal life, it's free. And here is someone who does not possess eternal life trying every way they know how to not possess it. To get out of it. Well, you know, you got to do this, I got to do this, I mean, it was just all over the place. It's like, you ought to just step back and listen to yourself. If someone said eternal life was a free gift, I don't know, I think I would just have a little bit of a curiosity, like, you know what, that sounds kind of interesting. Wouldn't just like automatically berate it, you know, well, I'm gonna do my own thing. There were so many different things she was doing. I keep the law. Well, what's the law? I don't know. How do you know you keep the law? Well, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was just all over the place. It's incredible what people will do to avoid eternal life. It's incredible. It really is. It is something else. So here's, I don't know how we went on that, but back to Diotrephes here. He persecutes people who are good people, who are associated with good people. So the last thing is this. Here's the application. It's real simple. Real simple. I love it. I mean, John just puts it in like, you know, kindergarten language here. Like, if you can't understand the problem, if you can't understand what's going on here, here's it put in simple terms as possible. Verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. is that not like preschool stuff? Just, hey, don't do bad stuff. Just don't do bad stuff. If your creed is great and your behavior stinks, your religion stinks. Whatever your belief system is, it stinks. And John says, look, beloved, here's a real profound, a real thought-provoking statement. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Don't do bad stuff. Well, what am I supposed to do if I don't do bad stuff? Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. You know, there's no doubt Diotrephes thought he was a great man, probably possessed great intellect and great ideas, and people needed to listen to him and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, if he would just step back, like the lady we were talking to about eternal life, just step back out of your own reality for a little bit. Step back and see what you're doing to other people. Just step back and observe the life you're living and the effects you're having on other people, and then make a judgment about your own belief system. Because if your belief system leads you to destroy other people's lives, your belief system stinks. Your belief system is a joke. So you know what John says? It's real profound. Hey guys, here's what we do. Don't do evil, do good. Ready, class? Don't do evil, do good. That's how he says. He's just like, it's so simple. You got Diotrephes, I'm sure, as you know, people need to hear what I have to say. I got money, I got stuff people need to know about. Hey, Diotrephes, if everyone needs to know about what you've got, but what you've got is leading to a division here and a division here and hatred here and envy here, and you're lying about brothers and sisters here and you're lying about them here, we don't want what you got. You keep it to yourself. We don't want it. John says, ready, class? Don't do evil, just do good. So simple. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. Ready, class? He that doeth good is of God. I mean, it's so simple. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Back to Diotrephes preaching versus his practice. One thing here. I'm sure Diotrephes had all the right, rightly dividing points and all that kind of stuff. And he could break down the Bible, and just tell everybody all the right things. And here's this, and here's that, and here's this, and here's that. But if you can say all that stuff, but you can't control yourself not to do evil, that stuff isn't helping you. Whatever you're thinking, you're believing, or whatever you're basing, or whatever stand you're making, it's not a stand where God is standing. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. You might say, well, you just need to follow and believe the King James Bible. You just need to do that. But if your idea of doing that leads to Diotrephes, if your idea of doing that leads to division and hatred, it's really time to step back. It's really time to reconsider whatever it is you say you believe. It really is time to, it's incredible. Back to that thought, it's incredible what the lady who didn't want eternal life would do to not have eternal life. The irony is, it's incredible. Here's Diotrephes. I'm gonna rule this. I'm gonna make sure my voice is heard. Hey, Diotrephes. When you get done destroying everything and you're king of the smoldering hill that you just destroyed, what are you king of anyway? What is it that you've accomplished now? Let's take a step back and a real simple principle to apply to whatever belief system you got. Do good, don't do evil. And if your belief system doesn't match that principle, step back and figure out where did I go wrong? Am I just taking a stand on some words? We believe the Bible. What does that mean? What part of the Bible do you believe? Do you believe Lamentations? Well, I don't know. I never read Lamentations. Okay. Well, you don't really believe the Bible. You believe maybe the parts you've read. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I've read the Bible cover to cover. Or, yeah, I'm gonna abide by the Ten Commandments. What are they? I don't know. How are you going to abide by them? It's crazy what people say. And it's crazy what people think. And we all have this tendency. So every once in a while, it's time to just step back and apply just a little preschool theology. Hey, do good, don't do evil. And if my beliefs don't fit that, I need to change my beliefs. I need to change my behavior. I need to fix whatever's wrong. What's the disconnect here? What's happened? Here's Diotrephes. You got the point. Selfish ambition. And it leads to all of this mess here that he's going to cause in this church. No doubt he thought he was right. No doubt he thought what he was doing was, you know, God's work. But if what you're doing is evil, it's not God's work. It's just not God's work. No matter how spiritual you think you are, it's just not God's work. It's time to reassess. So here's my challenge to you. Here's a challenge to me, to all of us. Follow good, not evil. Take a step back. I'm sure everyone in here would say, I believe the Bible. First question is, what part of the Bible do you believe? What parts do you believe? And the second question is, if whatever you believe doesn't help you treat people better, doesn't help you do less evil and do good, then let's reconsider whatever it is we're calling our belief system. I love the way John does it. It's so simple. Hey, just follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. That's simple. That's simple enough. So we all take a step back. Consider. What's my behavior like? How do I treat people? How do I act? I probably have the right claims. I believe the Bible. But what does that matter in the face of, like, Diotrephes? He isn't being scolded. He isn't being pointed out because he's preaching heresy. He's being pointed out because he's practicing heresy. That's the problem. That's Diotrephes. That's religion. We got this creed. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. I believe in this. I believe in that. I believe this. Who cares if you believe that and you're going to be a jerk to your brother or sister? Who cares? It's simple stuff. It's simple stuff. I think you got it. Happy Independence Day. I couldn't think of a July 4th one. I don't know. That's my July 4th one, so there you go. All right. We're going to pray, and what y'all have all been waiting for here. We're going to go eat some barbecue. So I'm going to pray. I guess I will just pray for the food. I don't know. I don't see anyone from the kitchen in here, so they'll probably tell me I need to pray in there too. I don't know. Yeah, two won't hurt. So let's pray. And then if you're staying for the fellowship and the meal, fellowship hall is where it's at. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for these words. Pray we'd take them to heart. Pray we'd learn what we need to learn. And deal with whatever we need to deal with in our own lives. We've all got these tendencies. I pray that you'd point them out. Sometimes they're spiritual ambitions. We just want to, it may be a good thing that we want to do, but we're just running over everybody to do good. And it's just, or at least in our minds, it's something that you want us to do or something we perceive as good, but we're just running over people to do it. Maybe it's time to step back, say, hey, you know what? This is probably not as good as I think it is if I got to run over people to do it. Pray we'd make these applications where they need to be made. Thank you for each soul that's here. It's a blessing to see so many folks here in the evening. And thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll meet y'all over.